CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Having a Monday on a Monday. Yeah, we can do that sometimes. Hey, once again, want to welcome you to the program today as we start off this brand new year again, and want to say Happy New Year to everybody. We've got some big changes coming to our nation here in about 14 days. And, you know, it's really interesting to see all these different things that are lining up in the world. We're seeing major changes in the leadership of countries. Trudeau today resigned from being the part of the government there in Canada. And, you know, we're seeing changes all over the world. And, you know, Jesus talked a lot about this particular time in Matthew chapter 24, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be all kinds of pestilences and earthquakes, all these things. And Jesus said, don't be troubled. But remember, he said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And I believe it's so important that we understand the lateness of the hour and to be about our Father's business. You know, I talked to everybody yesterday about New Year's resolutions. In fact, how to break New Year's resolutions. And for a lot of us, just don't make them, and then you can't break them. But here's the thing. God does want to make New Year's resolutions for us. And he wants to help us fulfill those things that he's called you and me to do. So I just want to encourage you that in this new year, look for opportunities to let your light shine. You may not always have that. And again, one of these days, Jesus will take his church home. And then the world's going to get what it always wanted, a world without God. The Bible says it'll be an unfit place to live. And unless those days were shortened, and that means only in a period of 7 years, man will completely have tried to wipe out himself. The Bible says, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. That's how bad it's going to be. So the idea of the dawning of the age of Aquarius, or the world will be as one, in John Lennon's words, friends, don't believe it. Because again, we know that this world is headed for a world global judgment. How good is it today to be right with God? Oh, that's what the Bible tells us. And so we want to just encourage you, give us a call. If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program. And joining me today, I believe we have with us Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri. Are you there? Don't have him yet. We don't have him yet. Okay. But he's coming along here pretty quick. So we're just having a Monday on a Monday here. When you go away for a couple days, the gremlins come in, and I don't know. I don't know what happens, but we've all experienced it. But anyway, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. Let's go to the phones. We have Kelly on the line in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Great job. Love listening to you every day. I have a coworker that is kind of a new Christian, and we talk a lot. She recently started telling me I need to watch a movie called The Days of Noah, and that we have the Sabbath wrong, that it's on Saturday. And I said, I'd heard that originally it was on Saturday. And she's telling me that we're doing it all wrong, and I need to watch this movie. And she calls me up, like, crying, like, almost like she's so worried about me going to hell because I'm not going to church on Saturday and taking Saturday as a Sabbath. And I've been trying to investigate it on my own, but I really wanted to run it by somebody like you guys to get your opinion.
Well, the Sabbath is Saturday. Always was, always will be. But we're not saved by worshiping on the Sabbath. Now, this is where she is in direct error of God's word. Oh, you're going to go to hell because you worship on Sunday. See, worshiping on the Sabbath isn't what saves us. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what's important. In fact, all the way through the Bible in the New Testament, the church worshiped on Sunday. Now, that doesn't matter if you worship on Saturday, but they say, well, we keep the Sabbath. They do not keep the Sabbath. At least most people I've ever talked to don't. These different groups that worship on Saturday and say, we're Sabbath keepers. No, you're not. You're not even honest. You know, it's a sin to lie, too. And when you follow what the Bible requires for Sabbath keeping, you can't make anybody else work on the Sabbath. You can't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. You can only travel so far from your home on the Sabbath. All these were part of keeping the Sabbath, which they violate. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. And so when we understand that, I cannot generate anything I do spiritual. It has to be given to me, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The minute that I think that I can be super spiritual because I keep the Sabbath or I don't eat pork or I wear only orange or I eat only organically grown foods, friends, we are deceived. Righteousness comes from God. And I do believe, now I will say this, I do believe there should be one day a week we take off and enjoy God's goodness to us. But you may be a fireman, you may be a policeman, you may be a paramedic or some other field where you're required to worship on Saturday, or excuse me, you have to work on Saturday and Sunday. Your day of rest may be a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday. It's okay. I believe that we take that day to enjoy what God has given us. But the minute that we think we make ourselves spiritual because I worship on Saturday, we're denying what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. If we could generate our own spirituality, Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. It has to be given to us because no good thing dwells in the flesh. And so these different groups that go around and say, oh, you've got to worship on Saturday, you got to worship on the Sabbath. Well, the early church worshiped on Sunday, and we find that God didn't condemn them for that. Or if you went and worshiped on Saturday as well, great, no problem. But somebody to say that you're not right with God because you worship on Sunday, it simply screams their ignorance concerning God's word. When the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, our Sabbath requirement was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ himself said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. So all the righteous requirements of the law were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The book of Galatians very clearly tells us about this, about people who accepted Christ, but then you got to get back under the law to show your worthiness. Well, friends, I'm not worthy. I'm never going to be worthy. It's only God that made me and you worthy. And the minute that we think that we generate that on ourselves, we're fooling ourselves. I believe we have Scott with us. Scott, your thoughts on the importance of keeping only the Saturday Sabbath and that this girl called and was weeping because he's in danger of going to hell because he's not worshiping on the right day. Oh my gosh, how sick. Your thoughts.
That's right. Yeah, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi.
Okay, great. I'm good to be with you here. Sorry for the mix-up.
Aren't you having a snowstorm? Aren't you having a snowstorm there, or did?
Yes, we are in the middle of it. And in fact, we actually, here where we're at in Festus, we have more ice than snow. So we are
snow. Oh, it's pulling the power wires down. Yeah, and the internet lines.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're on the line with us. And your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we talk about this issue of the Sabbath, what's the importance of Christians keeping it? There is no importance in us keeping it. And the reason for that is because the writer of Hebrews in chapters 3 and 4 makes it very, very clear that Jesus is our Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest. And the Bible tells us very clearly that as born-again believers, the covenant that we have with God is not the Mosaic covenant that the Israelites had with God back in the Old Testament. That was for the nation of Israel while they lived in the land. That was a covenant between God and them. But the Sabbath part of that That the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, tells us very clearly that the Sabbath was a token of the covenant between God and Israel. It was one of the things that when the other nations would see that, okay, they rest on the seventh day, that they belong to Yahweh. They belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what it's for. Now, what's interesting is when we come to the New Testament writers, they all give us commandment in their writings that we should keep all of the Ten Commandments as we live as Christians, not in order to be saved, not for righteousness before God, but all of the Ten Commandments, nine of the ten, are actually repeated for us by New Testament writers. And what's the importance of that? The importance of that is to show us which commandments in the law actually apply to us as believers. I'll give you, for instance, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "Let him who stole steal no more." Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. That's the eighth commandment, where they're not to steal from one another. And as believers, yeah, we're to not steal from one another. We're instead to work a job and then take what the money we have and not only supply our own needs, but to bless other people. So it's interesting. The only one of the Ten Commandments that's not repeated for us by the apostles in the New Testament that we should obey it is the Sabbath. And why is that? It's because of what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, when Paul says in verses 16 and 17, for us as believers not to judge one another when it comes to things like new moons, feast days, and Sabbaths. He said, don't judge each other because those things were just a shadow of the substance which would come, which is Christ. That's why, making the whole circle now, that's why we come back to the book of Hebrews, and you see the writer of Hebrews writing to Jewish believers in Christ who are being told they have to keep the Old Testament laws in order to be saved. That's why he goes to the point to show us Christ fulfilled the law. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And so how do Christians enter into Sabbath? We enter into Sabbath not one day a week, and not really even just 7 days a week, but when we're a believer, we enter into Sabbath because it actually says those who have entered into Christ have ceased from their works. In other words, we don't do anything in order to have salvation through Christ. We have to repent of our sins, we have to turn from our sins and put our faith in Christ. And we do, we enter into that rest. And so I think it's very important for us to understand covenants and to understand that in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was a covenant between God and the nation of Israel, as we have it in the law. And to say that Christians have to keep it today, I think we have ample evidence in the New Testament that is not the case, because we are saved and we have eternal life and we have a right standing with God, not through what we do. Paul says it's not through the works of the law that we're justified, but through faith in Christ alone. So, Mike?
Yeah, and I really believe that, again, if somebody wants to worship on Saturday, praise God, that's great. But don't condemn others because they worship on Sunday. What makes me a child of God is not the day I worship on, but my relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, our Father, which art in heaven. It really shows somebody doesn't really know who the Lord is. When you think you approach God in your rules and regulations, God wants to relate to us as a father to a child. Paul says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so when did it change? Well, out of commemorating Jesus raising from the dead on Sunday, the early church met on Sunday. And so that's when it changed. That was for the new covenant. Now, many people are still under the old covenant. You'll find Jewish synagogues, other different groups out there worshiping on Saturday. I don't say that that's wrong, but when they say any other day, but our day is the only day, they don't understand what a relationship with God is, because I have a relationship with God not based on the day I worship, but because he's my Father. Anybody, any of you, if you have children and you say, well, you could only come to me on Saturday. Don't come to me on Sunday, just on Saturday. You'd say, well, what kind of a father-child relationship is that? That's junk. Now because Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of the Old Testament law, we are free in him. And now we worship every day, and we hold that great relationship with God in the highest esteem every day that we live. Now, again, I think there should be a day a week where you set back, don't work, just enjoy what God's given you. The world calls it stop and smell the roses, but for some reason, Christians don't seem to understand that's important for us too. And God will supply and take care of the extra day that you don't work. I know some people are so lazy, they won't work any day of the week. That's wrong too. But when it comes to the exact day, hey, we're children of God. God doesn't care about that. And very clearly, Jesus Christ himself said that he was Lord of the Sabbath, and that all of the righteous requirements of the Old Testament are fulfilled in him. And when you are in Christ Jesus, all those requirements are met. Now, Jesus said this. He said, they came to him and said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, you got to keep this up. No, he didn't say that. He said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Jesus said. And then he said this, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Now think about that for a minute. All the law and the prophets, all the Ten Commandments, all those other laws back there, all came down to two. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. For all the Old Testament law hangs on these two. You see, every day is the Lord's. I hope we all remember that. I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, I have told her most of what you've just mentioned. I really like what y'all said about the only commandment that wasn't repeated in the New Testament. I didn't realize that myself. Mm-hmm. That makes total sense.
And when you when you love God, you're not going to be using his name in vain. When you love God, you're not going to have any other gods before him. When you love your fellow man, you're not going to be stealing from him or coveting what he has. When you love your fellow man, you're not going to be lying. See, it's all summarized in love. But they want to stay under the law. They want a legal relationship with God, where the New Testament and that new covenant is a love relationship with God. So much different, so much better. Hope that helps, Kelly.
I told her the main thing is your relationship with God, your personal relationship.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
Yeah, and for some may say, well, you can only come to God on Saturday. Oh, that. No, every day we can come to the Lord. In fact, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. I think that's some really good advice. Always have that constant awareness of God's presence in our life. But I do think it's a good thing to take a day off a week and enjoy what God's given you. Kelly, if you like, stay online, send you out the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke, 101 Last Days Prophecies, and another DVD called God of Wonders. So good. Done like National Geographic, how God made everything. It couldn't just happen. It had to be designed. So great. So stay online. We'll get those out to you, okay?
Thanks.
God bless you, Kelly. If you need us, we're here. And again, 8888, Ask CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. We're going to go to Carol in Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. This is a hard question to try to put very simply. My daughter-in-law just recently got involved in a woman at our church. She was having a lot of issues with anger, with control, and it was causing problems in her marriage, and they were on the verge of getting divorced. And the woman at church told her that she had evil spirits that needed to be delivered. And so she's given her a bunch of books to read, and she's done the removal of these evil spirits by even calling these spirits by name and saying that she had to tell Jesus to remove these spirits and had to tell him what the name is. And I said, mm-hmm. Jesus knows everything. And that the only deliverance that I've ever known as a Christian was a humble, repentant heart, faith, and an altar. That we don't need someone doing a seance to remove evil spirits from us once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I just want your input on that.
Well, I don't believe a Christian can be demon-possessed. I believe they can be oppressed, but as far as possessed, where you need deliverance and things like this, I don't find that in the Bible. And so this is a whole new doctrine that would, and I've seen it circulate within the church. You have the demon of chocolate because you like to eat chocolate all the time. I was at a church one time and this minister was trying to cast out the demon of thirst because the woman was thirsty all the time. Crazy stuff. Now, when we go back to what the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? We realize that God would not allow, in the Old Testament, the priest to enter the Holy of Holies if there was sin in his life. And yet now God has chosen to dwell in us, that form of Holy of Holies, if you will, to dwell in us. Now, again, I don't believe that's why demons can be in a Christian to do this. And there's books about it, and I don't believe any of it. I don't find it in the Bible. But when we understand that a person that isn't born again can have demons, that is true. And sometimes those have to be exercised out in the name of Jesus. Now, I've seen books written on this stuff. Well, you know, what is your name and how long have you lived and how many other people have you possessed? No, 1,000 times no. In the name of Jesus, come out. And we realize that Jesus asked the man of Gadara what the demon's name was. They said, Legion, for we are many. But you don't find a lot of times in the Bible where people were having demons cast at them, going to a great interview with this demon that they're trying to exorcise. So I have trouble with that. Now, as far as these different things, I do believe there are oftentimes deep-rooted problems from just our lives. This is one of the reasons why I believe in communion, by his stripes we are healed, because I believe that a lot of times people only apply that to a physical ailment, the flu or some other thing. But I believe that we really need our spirits healed inside of us. I mean, our spirit healed inside of us, our ability to love, our ability to be loved, the way we view others, the way we believe sometimes people view us. Well, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms kind of thing. Not realizing that God wants to heal that part of our life. And that way we don't transpose it into new relationships or marriage relationships that we have, dragging this junk from the past in. So I believe it's really important that when we come to Christ, we realize that we're all things pass away, behold, all things become new. And I believe that, again, if we focus on Jesus, we're going to adapt more of his personality. The problem is many Christians don't. And so I think this is why we need these supernatural healings that we find oftentimes. Your thoughts?
Yeah. And, you know, Carol, it's interesting here. So what I want to share is this. According to Galatians chapter 5, Paul tells us there that these things like anger and different, emotions that we express that are sinful actually are part of what is called the sinful nature. Paul actually talks about how what's going on here is these are the works of the flesh. In other words, the flesh there is, our body and our mind being controlled by our sinful nature. And so what's interesting as you go through Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, it tells us there that the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and then it gives a big list. And so it's very interesting because in the church today, many churches take one of two sides whenever it comes to a person showing a pattern of sinful behavior in their life
And a lot of times what happens is some people, as what your daughter has experienced, they blame these kind of behaviors, these patterns of behavior, on demons. They say they have a spirit or they have a demon. And so what they have to do is either exorcise it out of the person, or they have to take the person through some kind of program. And there's lots of different programs out there where they, you know, they go way back in the person's past and they start dealing with, you know, quote, demons that are there because, and spirits that are there because of generational curses and all of this. So what's interesting is in the church today, when it comes to dealing with patterns of sinful behavior, where someone is consistently living their life out of the resources of their sinful nature instead of their new nature as a believer, one way to address that is some churches say these are demons. Another way churches go the other, some churches go the other route, and what they will say is they will say they're not demons, but they're diseases. And so what we end up doing is the church a lot of times ends up bringing into the church psychology. And what that's called is integration, where we integrate, we try to integrate, you know, Christian doctrine with psychology. And when we do that, what ends up happening is we end up saying these problems are because you have a disease. And so, you know, people need to be on pills or people need to go through some sort of long therapy in order to get through these things.
Yeah. And so we're coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away. And we're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed, because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before January 15th and you use the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Monday afternoon, the first full week of a brand new year. And with me, we have Scott Parker, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Festus, Missouri, in ice storms and things like that. I'm glad you're with us, Scott, that you made it to church to be able to do the program. And with us, we have Carol on the line asking about, well, going to church and this woman trying to exorcise demons. Now, Carol, very quickly, this woman that you're speaking of, that this lady's trying to, she is a born-again Christian?
Yes, yes, she is. And and my daughter-in-law, she was saved and she was baptized, and she really believed that she did accept Christ as her Savior, but she was still having these issues with anger and control. And like I said, it was causing a lot of trouble with her marriage. And my son was extremely unhappy, and they thought about divorce. And then she calls this woman and she says, well, we have to get these evil spirits out of you. And, you know, it's like, was almost, from what they explained to me, it was like an exorcism where she threw up for like 10 minutes getting this control spirit out of her, or this anger spirit. And she's given her these books. One of them I know is called The Pig and the Poke, which I've never heard of. But she's given her these books. And what really scared me is when she said that, you know, the leader of these evil spirits that are within her has a name. And she told her that you have to tell Jesus to remove him by name. I said, you don't have to tell Jesus anything. He knows everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah,
but no, she's got her believing that she has to call him out by name and tell Jesus, remove this evil spirit so-and-so from me.
Well, and sounds like there's some pretty bad doctrine going on there. Here'd be my question. Does the pastor of the church believe this way? I think that'd be a very important question. Or is this lady just some lady in the congregation that's winging it with her own kind of goofy ideas? Because I really think, Carol, that she, if this woman, again, may be just a lone wolf out there saying these kind of things, maybe you should call the pastor of the church where this is going on and get his take on these things and say, well, do you know that somebody in your church is doing this? And if that's the case, I would probably recommend going to a different church. Because again, I think today the church gives the devil far too much power. Yes, he's a powerful entity, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And, you know, the Bible says that they're powerless when it comes to Christ. So I think maybe what you need to do is find out where the church's doctrine is based on the pastor, and then go from there. Because is this lady just winging it, or is she a representative, and this is, in fact, what this church believes? Because that's going to make a lot of difference, because if this is the idea of what's goes on, then anytime there's an issue in our life, well, it comes back. Years ago, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson. And he'd come on and go, well, the devil made me do it. Well, probably so. But the thing is, it negates any personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's your problem. Because when you go to James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, where do wars and fightings come from among you? And it goes back to covetousness. You want to have things so you can consume it on your own lust. All these different things. This is where the problems come from. And so every time we have a problem, well, the devil made me do it. That's not biblical. Again, there are works of the flesh very clearly. Again, I would strongly have her read James chapter 4 and the whole chapter, because it talks about this very issue of bad attitudes and fighting and warfare in a person's soul. Doesn't say it's caused by necessarily the devil, but it's caused by our own greed and lusts. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one point, James calls his readers, he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Not that they're out sleeping around with everybody, but that they have, in their spiritual Christian condition, have allowed things of the world to come in and pollute that purity that God has for them. So I would go there, but I would try to find out, because if the church is this way, then maybe you can do something to go church shopping with her, get some other sisters around her from maybe some other fellowships that can in fact really help her. That'd be my advice to you, Carol. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. And I can tell you, no, the pastor does not feel that same way. And it is one individual. And I do know that her and her husband went around to these seminars. And I do not remember the young man's name. I want to say it was Greg Laurie, but I'm not for sure. but it was about releasing evil spirits from Christians.
Well, I know Greg Laurie wouldn't do that. No. So,
okay, so
there are some out there that do those kinds of things. You need to inform the pastor of this very seriously. You need to contact him and tell him that it's really, really messing your daughter-in-law up. It's real simple to just get on the phone, call the church, say, I need to talk to the pastor, say, hey, you got this person doing this. And, I think that will really help your daughter-in-law and really anybody else that this woman would approach with these crazy ideas. Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. It very much does. And yes, I do know the pastor. It is our church. My son and her have been going for about 2 or 3 years now, and my husband and I have been going for many, many years to the same church, and our pastor does not believe that way. And I thought seriously about calling him, but my husband and I listened to your program. He says, call them today and get their input. I said, okay.
No, I call your pastor this afternoon, or first thing in the morning, and just say, hey, we got an issue here, and let me explain it. And if she's doing this to my daughter-in-law, is she doing this to other women in your church? Because, she's basically saying that a child of God, a Christian, can be demon-possessed. Show me a verse and place where that's in the Bible. It isn't. This is stuff made up. And I think, personally, it's an excuse for people's bad behavior and lack of repentance. See, it's a lot easier to say, well, the devil made me do it than me saying, gosh, God, I'm really sinning. I'm sorry. I need to repent. There's a big difference. It's moving the blame. Now, again, where did we learn this from? Well, let's go back to the garden. God said, why did you eat of the tree? And Eve said, well, Adam said, that woman you gave me, I don't know who the problem is here, God. I don't know whether it's the woman or you, that woman you gave me. You guys are the problem, not me. So I'm backing out of this. God looked at the woman and said, why did you eat of the tree? Well, that serpent. See, it's always somebody else's fault. Rather than me saying, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have ate of the tree. Forgive me. But the devil made me do it. See, got to be really careful of bad theology. It's everywhere. Carol, I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, pastors.
Stay online and I'll send you some books and some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And Scott, final words.
Yeah. Can I share something just real quick? Carol, I don't know how much you heard before the break. I was having some technical difficulties there. But I was talking about Galatians 5. And just like Mike said, what happens is, again, in a lot of churches, they'll look at this kind of, these patterns of sinful behavior and say, well, it's spirits, it's the devil. Or they'll actually say, like I said a moment ago, they'll integrate psychology into it and say, well, they're diseases. So they want to put people on pills or make them go through long, long periods of therapy. It's going to cost them a lot of money. The point is, like as Mike said, the point to all of this is it takes all the responsibility off the person. When Paul says the problem is that in our sinful nature, there are lusts and desires that are embedded in our sinful nature that have to be overcome. But how they're overcome, according to Romans chapter 6, is through sanctification, and it's through the process of realizing that we as believers are now dead to the sinful nature and we're alive through the Holy Spirit to God. So here's what I would suggest. I would just, exactly what Mike said, I would have her go to her pastor. But what I would recommend for her to do is you can talk to your pastor and see if he knows someone. They may have someone in the church that does this. I do this personally in our own church, but I would seek out a biblical counselor that can take her through the Bible and show her how she can deal with these urges and with these sinful patterns of her sinful nature, because there's a biblical way to deal with it. And it takes learning scriptures, learning what the Bible has to say, especially in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 are two huge places. Galatians chapter 6 chapter 5 is a big one. But there's different places you can go to help people be free to realize they don't have to have their life dominated by the urges and the desires and the lusts of their own sinful nature, of which anger is one of those. It's listed there. So again, Galatians chapter 5, and I would read that second half of that chapter where Paul lists all these things because he covers everything. And so what I would do is I would go to the pastor and say, hey, and you know, and talk to her, to him, and say, do you know any good biblical counselors? Okay, if he can do it, great. If he doesn't do that, some churches are so large the pastors don't do that. If he doesn't, they may have somebody in the church, or there are people in the area, I guarantee you, who are actually certified in biblical counseling. And that's what we do at our church. I've been trained in biblical counseling, and it is strictly taking the Bible and applying it to people's lives in a way to help them be free from this kind of thing. So that's what I would recommend you to do as she goes to her church and her pastor. But what I would not do, I would not send her to a quote Christian counselor, because most Christian counselors integrate psychology and it won't help her. She'll still be bound. And so I've seen many people in our church. In fact, I'm counseling a couple different situations right now in our own church where people are being free from things that as Christians they've been bound to that are in that list for years. And now they have found freedom. And so freedom is there. Christ has provided it through the cross. We just have to understand what Christ did on the cross. He not only died for our sins, but we died with him on the cross. We're now dead to our sinful nature. So we are now free to live out of the new nature instead of the old nature. And those are the things that she really needs to learn, because it's all right there in the Bible. So that's what I would recommend along with that, Mike.
Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, pastors.
Yeah, I'd go to your senior pastor, explain what's going on, and then get his take. Because, again, if this woman is doing this to your daughter-in-law, she may be doing it to other people in the church, and I'm sure any pastor that loves his congregation would not want that to be happening. So,
yeah, and it's pretty popular right now too, Mike. It's very popular
because for these, the devil made me do it. I didn't do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm a good guy. It's just the devil made me do it.
You know, I've dealt with that in our church, and people coming to our church and around this area. And they really, you know, clothe it in something that doesn't look that bad on the outside. But when you get into it, then you're realizing basically all they're trying to do is channel demons through the person. It's really, really scary. And I would never run far from that.
And I want to make something clear. If you're not born again and you're hooked up to something and you can't get free from it, you could have a demon. Very clearly in the Bible, it's there. Demons are looking around for somebody to move into so they can do their dastardly deeds. They finally have hands and feet and a mouth, and they can be as foul as they want to be. That's why never get loaded, never get stoned. Stay away from Ouija boards and keep your table on the floor. Because again, when you start getting into the occult, when you start getting into drugs, it breaks down that natural defense we have against the enemy. And then the devil moves in. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that person is not their own anymore. And you look at the destruction. Look at the guy at Gadara. Oh, he ascended and now he's the president of a bank and he's doing so well. No, he was living among the tombs, cutting himself. Demons never do anybody any good. But oh, if you listen to some of the rock songs of the Satan groups out there that were around, oh, they glamorize it. Friends, it's not to be glamorized. It's dark, it's evil, and it's wicked. That's why greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If you're born again, hey, listen, you got problems, meet him, go to the Lord in prayer, meet him with God's word. That's what will deliver you. But to simply say, oh, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil may suggest things to you as a Christian, but that doesn't mean you have to live there. You don't have to listen to him. So, Carol, that's some things that I would appreciate somebody doing in my congregation if this was happening. And so I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, pastors.
Stay in line if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. And we'll go to Al, Hesperia, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Mike and Scott, and blessings to you in 2025.
You too.
Listen, I've been a faithful listener for years. I've called it some questions in the past, but You guys, I just want to continue to see God bless this. If he carries, you just keep blessing this station and the work that you guys are doing. And I just want to give a shout-out. I go to Calvary Chapel in Victorville, Pastor Gary Malkus, Jr., and I've got a bunch of people praying for us.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I just real quick, Al, want to say thank you and all of those who listen to CSN that supports us, that keeps us on the air. Like I've told people here so many times, nobody here has Lear Jarrett's. If you are watching this on Facebook or whatever, no Rolex watches. I have a Hawaiian shirt on. You know, we want to see the kingdom of God grow. We built a lot of new stations last year, and we're building a lot of them this year. And again, we've got to get the gospel out, you know, and listen, if you listen to CSN any length of time, you realize the diet of what people in America that are Christians are listening to is crazy stuff. Yeah. No wonder we have such a crisis in Christianity right now, because the doctrine is all over the map. And again, it's nickels and noses. Well, we don't want to tell people the truth, you know, in church, because that'll make the offerings go down, and then we won't be able to pay for this edifice that we built called a building. And so we don't want to tell anybody. So everybody's beautiful in their own way, you know. And, you know, they compromise that. Oh, we just love everybody. We don't tell anybody to repent. So if you're, you know, in some kind of sexual weirdness, that's all right. Just come, because you're part of the brotherhood. Is that what the Bible says? No, we accept people in the world. But when they become born again, very clearly, if you're going to be a Christian, you live like one. And if a person refuses to do that and flaunts their sin in church, or bad doctrine as our last caller, or whatever it might be, in love, we go to that person and say, brother, sister, hey, don't do that. Paul did that concerning a guy in the church at Corinth who was lipping on his stepmother, evidently, is what it was going on. And the church, instead of saying, hey, dude, you're kind of weird, until you straighten this out in your life, go away, they were all applauding and patting each other on the back. Oh, we're such a loving church. Look, we can tolerate this guy making moves on his stepmother. Oh, isn't that great? Paul didn't think so. In fact, Paul said, kick him out. Turn him over to the world. Turn him over to Satan. You know, there's protection in the body of Christ. And when you have a lifestyle that's blatant, and like I say, we have people from all different aspects come to our church. I don't go and follow them around or whatever. And if they're here to learn about God, praise God. If we have homosexuals come, as long as you're not putting your arms around each other and lipping on each other, I want you here to hear God's word. But church is not a place to demonstrate our ability to sin. And that's where we have to be careful. And that's what the guy was doing that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians. So there's a difference. Yes, we're all sinners. We're all in a work in progress. But there's a difference between saying, God, forgive me. As the guy said, he wouldn't even look up. He beat on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not saying, well, you know, I love stealing and I'm going to keep stealing. I'm going to steal right here in church. Yeah. That's not what it's about, friends. Again, God is working on all of us. And then this new year, listen, sin never does us any good. Sin only hurts us. That's why God doesn't want us to sin. It isn't that God's a cosmic killjoy, doesn't want us to have any fun, but God knows more about that fun than we do, and that fun kills us. So you're not being a bad parent because you take the rat poison out of the house so your kids don't get in it. Well, you know, I want that freedom, man. No, that freedom will kill you. And so it's, like I say, we have a heavenly Father. And hey, we do what God says, we're going to be blessed. And that's a good thing. Al, how can we help?
Okay, I just want to, my wife, on the 2nd of the year, on January 2nd, she got very ill. She had COPD, and we just about lost her on that day. And I had to make a decision, put her on a ventilator to try and see if that will help to keep her lungs going. So I'm asking for prayer for Sharon. We're coming up on our 40th anniversary, and she's coming up on her 75th birthday. And I've got so many friends and family from Calvary Victorville that are praying and all across the United States. But I thought you guys reach all the way across and all around the world. So what better to have more prayer warriors, you know?
Amen.
God would get her lungs functioning again on their own.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We lift up Sharon to you. We just ask you that you would touch her. God, the one who heals, would you please heal? We don't demand you to do anything. We come to you as your children, petitioning for Al that you would heal his wife, you would raise her up, and Lord, it would be a testimony to all those that know the power of your healing touch in all of our lives. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Lord, reach out and touch him. Touch her. We put this in your hands. Amen.
Amen.
Al, our prayers are with you.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
God bless you. Let us know how everything works. Our hearts are, you know, it always hurts me when I see people sick. And I just wrestle with that inside. I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody in church or any time, but you know, oftentimes I just say, God, I just wish I just had that miraculous gift of healing where you could just walk up to somebody that you see in a store in a wheelchair and just say, in the name of Jesus, step out of it. You know, I just think, God, that would be so wonderful because, again, demonstrating the power of God. Then immediately after that's over, not taking an offering, not flaunting your name or your books you just wrote, but rather just saying Jesus did this for you because he loves you. I think we need more of that. Oh, everybody, you know, the Bible says, desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what God's called you to do. Pray that God would give you those supernatural gifts. Al, our prayers are with you. And again, may the Lord raise her up in Jesus' name. Stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. Let's go to Miriam, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome. Miriam, are you there?
Yes.
How may we help?
Okay. We know that God made Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Who made the other people? The Egyptians, you know.
No, Adam and Eve. The name Eve in the Bible means mother of all living. That's what her name means. Everybody that was created on this earth, that is, has been, are all descendants of Adam and Eve. Your thoughts?
Exactly. And what's interesting is if you go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 6, it says the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Mizraim, Miriam, in that verse is the Hebrew word for Egypt. So the Egyptians came from Mizraim, which was a son of Ham, which if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, you'll find out that Ham came from Noah. And then Noah was a descendant of Adam and Eve's third son, Seth. So it's Adam and Eve to Seth. Then eventually in Genesis chapter 5, if you go through the genealogy, you're going to come there to Noah. And then Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so Ham, from Ham came the Egyptians. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, everybody descended, and then it went down real small to Noah's immediate family, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And from there, again, going to chapter 10 of Genesis, we have the table of nations where everybody came from. So there's a saying, I don't know him from Adam. You may have heard that thing. Well, that is because, again, it all goes back to Adam and Eve. Now, there's some bad teaching out that, oh, well, Adam had another wife called Lilith. That's all made up. It's all baloney. Don't buy it. But everything goes back to a common ancestry, and everything the Bible says reproduced after its own kind. And we see that today. We know it to be called DNA, and it follows exactly what the Bible says and how everything is created. Now, you can cross a horse with a donkey. You get a mule. But it's sterile. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Just exactly what the Bible says. Hope that helps. There, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. And for Shannon and for Paul, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Thanks, Scott, for being on. Scott's got a program called A Word for the Church on the weekends. And God bless you. See you tomorrow.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.